Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm your host, La Perla Negra, and you are in Divas Talk. I'm joined tonight by my special ladies, my guest panel of divas. I got myself Lisa Lips here. Hey, Diva, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm in a really, really good mood.
I can hear it. Plus, the music was banging. I'm in here jumping around.
That's what's up. I gotta confess, I was in somebody else's playlist, but it's cool. It's all good. You know, sometimes you gotta do that. You know, because they can get things that you don't have, and, you know, they give you access to it, so it's all good, you know?
Let me finish. You got me in a little bit of a mood with the music. I ain't gonna lie.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a definite good thing. I got my other divas up in here. Hey, Lady A, how you doing tonight, Diva?
Hi, I'm doing great. How about you? Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Lady A.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight. I'm enjoying these Wednesday evenings very much.
Oh, most definitely, and I'm enjoying having you here. Yes, and we got my last diva up in here. We got Essentially Janice. Hey, Diva, how you doing?
Hey, good evening. How are all of you?
Good.
Great.
Yeah.
Good to hear your voices.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let me finish this introduction to the show. As I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is Diva's Talk, and you are listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, and it's sponsored by Raw Links. Why the average when you can be raw? I got my Rawlings on, Divas. You got yours on?
Absolutely. Oh, I actually found a piece that I had bought and forgot I had it.
Oh, that's nice. That's like a Christmas present. Yeah.
Yes, that is. It's like Christmas morning, you know. I love surprises like that. It's like finding money in your pocket that you didn't remember that you put in there. It's been through the washing machine and the dryer and everything, and it's still good. It's still right there. Yes. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and by all means, press that 1 and join us in this amazing conversation and give us some of your awesome poetry. Now, before I continue, I have to give a major big shout-out and thank you to a person who is not only a very good friend of mine, and not only the CEO of Epiphany Radio, but he is also the CEO and creator of Raw Links, those beautiful pieces of jewelry that me and my divas were talking about that you get to adorn your body with. And I will tell you exactly where you can acquire them in a second. But his name is Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. Baby. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you can acquire those beautiful pieces of jewelry that include precious gems and metals and even wood. And they all give off very good energy. They are very healing. You can acquire them over on Amazon and Rawlinks Be Raw at Facebook.com. And if you can't get them at either one of them places, holler at anybody here in Epiphany, and we will make sure you get to adorn your body with whatever it is you choose to have him design. Or you can just let him put his magic touch on it and give you a special piece of his own choosing. Now, ladies, divas, this topic tonight, it is about, is it possible? First of all, let me ask the question, and I'm going to ask you all as individuals. Do any of you know what a stoic person is? I'm going to start with you, Janice.
I think I had something in mind, but I questioned if it was accurate, right? So I ended up straight pulling up the definition. I'm a words person, so I had it in front of me, and it kind of shifted my thinking a little bit. But, yeah, I pulled up the whole definition.
All right. Ms. Webb?
For me, from my experience, a stoic person is someone who kind of is lackluster about knowing anything about anybody else. They have their mindset on what it is that they want to be, and they're not talkative or communicative about anything. They just kind of live within themselves and makes it hard for you to share with them.
Okay. Lady A?
I have a different view of being stoic. My whole life, I've always thought the person being stoic is somebody who is really strong and courageous and brave and never complains. And you would look at them and think they have everything together because they don't show their emotions really well, but they are holding those emotions at bay, but not in a weak way. They're strong people who do not show their emotions easily. That's how I view it anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, for me, my husband, my late husband, was very stoic at times. Not all the time. He wasn't completely emotionless. But for the most part, his personality, it was a lot of stoicism in it. For me, it is a person that really, really just like disregards your feelings. They can be very sarcastic. They can be very insensitive. At the same time, they have been traumatized very early in life to the point where they have learned how to disguise their feelings, hide them very well, their emotions for anything, for fear of people weaponizing it against them. So it's a lot of conditioning factors that lead to a person becoming that way. They don't start out stoic, but they can wind up being a really crappy person behind that happening to them. And it's damaging to most people that encounter them. It's exhausting, and it takes a lot of work. Now, before we go any further into this, I'm going to tell everybody, the question that I have is it possible to be in and have a successful relationship with a stoic person? So I'm going to start from Ms. Lips this time.
I do think that it's possible, but that you have to both be on the same page. Because stoicism is sometimes hard to communicate with, but if it is their desire to be in a relationship with you, then they will take the steps that are necessary. But if they are in the relationship for the wrong motives, or if they are there for whatever gain they may think, then that's not going to work, because then they're all about themselves. Stoicism would have to be on the vein of what it is that you're trying to build. If they have a different agenda, then it's not going to work.
Okay. Shanice?
Yeah, so listening to all of you kind of, it makes me think about how, in general, one word can have several definitions, and that pulls from perspectives as well, right? And so I'm listening and I'm hearing. For myself, I was thinking about traits and behaviors as a definition for a stoic person, but listen to what I was reading earlier. First of all, it's described as a noun, and so this isn't the adjective definition. This is the noun, a noun. It's a person who can endure pain or hardship without showing their feelings or complaining. And there are several things about that that bothered me. The idea that someone can endure pain and that they're not showing their feelings. But this whole definition to me reads from the observer's standpoint. So internally, is that how that person is defining themselves, or are they protecting themselves by not showing their feelings? And I think you were touching on that too, as far as sometimes things happen to a person, and so to protect themselves, they show their feelings less, but that doesn't mean that they don't have them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So for me, my protectiveness comes out. Like I want to contribute to that safe space where the person doesn't have to hide their feelings or shield themselves or guard themselves. I want you to feel safe enough to be able to show your feelings. Here's the other thing that I was reading. It talks about, you know, sometimes when you pull up a definition, it also bring up what people also ask, right? And so this mm-hmm. is a question that says, is stoic personality good or bad? And the answer mm-hmm. is being stoic usually considered a good trait to have. A stoic personality often means a person is more efficient in their tasks, less swayed by small changes to their lifestyle, and makes them much harder to hurt emotionally. And that bothers me because a person not showing their feelings or guarded doesn't mean that it's harder to hurt them. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I just feel like it's about perspective. It's about how you've defined stoicism and how that person defines it and why they're stoic. Those are important things to consider.
Okay. Okay. Lady A?
Yeah, that's, Janice, that was really very interesting because I drew up the same definition of stoicism and exactly the same thing, that a person who can endure pain or hardship without showing their feelings or complaining. And I guess I didn't expand on that thought in the direction that you went, Janice, because I see it as, and I can see that that can be a problem with somebody that doesn't express themselves, that can develop into a negative trait to have. But I guess I've always viewed it as bravery. I've always viewed somebody being stoic as being strong and brave. I didn't ever have a second opinion of it, I guess, and you kind of opened my eyes to a different aspect of that personality trait. It's interesting to see the different perspectives on it, but, yeah, I always looked at it as somebody being really strong in while they're in the throes of some kind of chaos.
Okay, but the question was, go ahead.
We're coming up on Suicide Prevention Month, too. So with that thought in mind, I feel like it's so, so important to recognize when someone is quiet, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, that may not be strength. They may be close to a breaking point, and they don't feel safe
right.
to open up. So it's really important
yeah.
for us to reach in if someone's not reaching out.
Right, absolutely. But my question, ladies, was, do you think it's possible to have and to be in and have a successful relationship with someone who is stoic?
Absolutely.
Do you think
absolutely.
So?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because of all of that, like part of building that relationship is understanding why the person is the way that they are. And if you're in a position to, you know, be a safe place for them and vice versa, absolutely it's possible. One of my favorite memories is with someone who was pretty stoic, and I recognized it as a wall. And so we were just hanging out. I'm goofing around. I don't think many people have seen me goofy. But 30 seconds of goofiness, I heard the biggest laugh come out of this guy's face that I've ever heard, and it was my favorite sound. So you can
okay.
connect with someone who's stoic. You just have to feel safe.
Okay.
And they have to be willing. They have to be willing to let you in
yes.
as well. My ex-husband was very stoic, but he was not willing to let me in.
Yes.
He did the things that he did to please someone else. he was trying to please his family. And so he took all of his cues from his parents, particularly his father. So he did things mm-hmm. that he thought would please his father, and it didn't have anything to do with me. His father wanted him in a relationship. He got involved with me. He took me to meet his father. His father liked me. So he was comfortable with the fact that his father thought I was good for him, but he never really put any effort into making it work for us. He okay. made the facade make his family feel like everything was good, but it wasn't. We could be in the same room and have no conversation. He would rather pick up the phone and call his father and talk to him than to talk to me sitting right in the room with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, lady. Okay. Go ahead, Lady A.
Well, I find this very fascinating because mm-hmm. I had a one-track mind with that particular word, and you can apply it in so many different ways, really.
Yeah.
But the positive aspect of being courageous and brave, but also the danger of that silence, like you said, Janice, because sometimes people just can't express themselves, and it manifests itself in other ways. So as far as your question goes, I think, can it be possible to have a relationship with somebody like that? Yes, it can, but I don't think it would be entirely successful because you can't have a successful relationship when one person is closed off to the other. They may do good for that person, do wonderful things for that person, and actually love that person. But if they themselves are not willing to open up and allow somebody in, then there's not much point, you know.
Okay. All right. My divas, thank you. It's a reason I picked you, ladies, okay, because we can elaborate and have a really, really great conversation about this, these topics. We never run out of things to say. Unfortunately, I have to cut our conversation short because we got poets up in here that want to spit their ink and they want to give their insight on this, but we got to get with ours first. So, ladies, get your pieces ready. I'm going to pay the bills real quick, and when I come back, we're going to start off with you, Janice. All right?
All right.
Tiffany Radio.
All right. Welcome back. I'm going to give you the dial-in number once again because we're coming up on half an hour into the show. It is 319-527-6300, and please press that 1. All right. So, as promised, Janice, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Just a quick preheat. This was inspired by a friend of mine who suffered a loss and went quiet for months. And in that, I saw myself because I have a tendency to go quiet sometimes too. So I wrote this from a place of how I wished someone would reach out to me. The title is Invisible Ink. There's a need to be silent until you're good. What does that look like? And when you arrive at that peak of goodness, is it elusive? Is it fleeting? Is there a need to be invisible? Ink in ways indiscernible until your state of being is acceptable. I low-key hate the act of brave face. I accept how you feel. I pray your silence is contemplative, that you make this a practice. The alternative feels like hiding, like the wholeness of our experience is irrelevant and the duality of existence is not what we're meant to feel. If you are hiding, thinking that you should, I may ask if you're good, but that's just the Baltimore in me. I understand what not really feels like, what resulting assumptions sound like, and how that noise goes away when I sleep. I'll keep you lifted through any pretense or brave face, sit with you in a safe place. I'll even write with you with invisible ink, essentially.
Yo. All right. Yeah. What do you have for that?
That was powerful. I never thought about stoicism in that way. But, yeah, that's very powerful because it takes an effort for a stoic person to allow someone in their space and to be willing to open up in that way. I never thought about it in that sense. But that was very powerful.
Yes, indeed. Lady A?
I thought it was fantastic too. I think your where you got this from was really poignant, and I think silence is deadly at times. And when there is somebody suffering out there, oftentimes they will go silent, or they'll be open even, and tell somebody how they're feeling, and still telling them how they feel if they have suicidal ideations, even saying it out loud does not evoke a response to some people sometimes. And so it can throw them even deeper into that silence. And yes, if somebody, we say, well, call me if you need, if you need anything, call me. Sometimes people aren't able to. It's for those observing to reach out and grab a hold of them to salvage them, I guess.
That's what they say,
yes.
Step when you're strong.
Yes, yeah. Excellent point, too. You did, yeah. I thought that the piece was really great. It was brevity, but still, you punched you packed a punch, I should say, into it. And really deep food for thought. I love how you write.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. I agree with both ladies. Silence, it has so much behind it. It is extremely, extremely loud if you are paying attention
yes.
to the person that is being silent, because I lived with depression for the majority of my life. I would stay silent when I would go out and be about people. And when I got in the groups of people that caused a lot of damage to my mental stability and my heart, I would hide my pain behind laughter. The louder I laughed, the worse I hurt. And a lot of my being silent was used against me as well. People would think something was wrong with me, not out of pain, but like mentally something was wrong with me. And it wasn't. I was just dealing with, people with contaminated hearts that did nothing but gossip and intentionally set out to do bad things. So I stayed quiet a lot, especially with my husband, because, like I said, he was a narcissist. He was diagnosed as with having narcissistic personality disorder. It's different than you just assuming that they are narcissistic, mm-hmm. Because we all have a little bit of it in us, because at certain times we went our way. But people that actually have that disorder are really, really detrimental to a person, period. You know, I love that piece. You did. You punched a hole, you know, you packed a wallop with that piece, I mean. But, you know, I'm a fan. Okay.
Thank you.
So, thank you for that. All right. So we're going to go with Lady A. Whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
I'm ready. Thank you. Mine's titled Stoicism, the Good Twin versus the Bad Twin. And it goes like this. Life has dealt each card, beautiful and ugly, lessons given justly. Raised eyebrows, knowing eyes, perhaps they'll even patronize. He should have been a poker player, a gambler, hustler, card slayer, a stoic stance. At a glance, you'd think him brave or courageous. This silent strength swept you off your feet. By then, you're in too deep. Fell for all his smooth moves, his eyes spoke words, his lips refused. One could assume his six-foot form loved you, but you were wrong. Beguiled, you missed the signs he lays in wait to undermine. And danger lurks beneath his facade, mistaken silence for courage. Absent are his feelings, void of all emotions. A narcissist emerges, all his stoicism disappears. Apathy, now his name, he plays rough, and self is his only game. In peace.
Wow. All right, so I'm going to start with Janice. What do you have for that piece?
I need to breathe. I felt like, so I love the build of it, how you have this person and you're learning that it's a mask, right?
Yeah.
There was this underlying evilness that started as subtle that I felt it as it built. It was making me uncomfortable. I started visualizing the shadowed figure, but it almost felt like the behavior itself was a separate person as well, and I like the personification of behaviors and traits. And I don't know if that was necessarily the intent. That's just how it was feeling to me. And I was waiting for you to like keep going. I was sitting back ready for a whole story.
I was trying to write more, and I may end up adding a few verses to this, but I really wanted to come across that way. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. Thank you.
You know, our pieces are never finished. They're just paused.
Yeah.
Because we can go back to them years later and be like, I want to put this in there. I want to add this. And that's what I always say about my pieces. Poetry is never finished. It's just paused. You can write your lifetime in one piece.
I wanted to have, because we do mistake somebody who is stoic with somebody who has a plan to look that way, but really is the devil in disguise. And, you know, they can give off that same odor, if you will, and be entirely different. So it can be viewed in multiple ways. I don't think I quite got that across, but hopefully it sort of snuck in there a little bit. But maybe with a couple more verses it would be more evident. But I think that we have to be very discerning with people in our lives as to what their motives are and how they can, we can be fooled easily. And if you're missing love in your life, then that makes it even more difficult to maneuver those kinds of personalities.
True.
Absolutely. Amazing piece. Miss Lips, what you got for that?
I agree with what Janice was saying. The personification in the piece, it was very much like the way this person was, or the emotion was taking on its own personality. That was amazing. That definitely.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear where else you take that.
Absolutely, absolutely. That was this one line that you said in there. I don't know what it was you said beforehand, but what I heard was his eyes spoke words, his lips refused. That right there is a very, very powerful line. And I think we have, you know what, being in a relationship with somebody that's like that, that is stoic, it is very... it's very trying. It takes a lot of patience, a whole lot of unconditional love, because they do shit to make you want to, I ain't going to say it, but I'm just telling you, I used to sit on the side of my bed at night and be like, how can I kill this motherfucker and get away with it? Literally, like, the endurance, you need a lot. You got to be built for endurance for that. But I love that piece, Lady A. You always, you make love to my senses.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. What a lovely thing to say. That's amazing. Thank you so much.
It was a beautiful, beautiful piece. All right. So, Ms. Lips, you are up to the mic next. And whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Thank you. This piece is actually an old piece written while I was still married to my ex-husband and how I was feeling being in that situation. The piece is called Contented and Free. Warm rain falls outside my window, the sound of angel tears falling from heaven. My loneliness is only surpassed by my need to escape. Escape from this life I unwisely chose while looking for a life of secure dreams. I compromised with God knowing he doesn't bargain, and he made my bargain his folly. I prayed, please, Lord, I've had great lovers, but I need stability. Please help me be what he expects, not fully understanding what I was asking for. And his response is what I now have, no physical connection, and proof that security was always in my hands. It hasn't all been bad. My pen to this pad is proof. I found my creativity as I lost myself. As I lost my will to move, I found my strength in words. And he isn't a monster. I'm just not the partner he needs. We were designed to be friends. We just chose to take it too far. We both know this has been brewing for years because personal growth is stunted. We each need to find true companions, not just someone to tolerate. And we need to really live our own lives. I need to find happiness in whatever time I have left. Over half a century has passed and I still haven't found it. The hopes and dreams of the girl I once was are barely more than dying embers. I need peace of mind. I want a man to love me the way my pop loved my grandma. 56 years of marriage and 10 kids, yet they still share the love that never grew old. Mornings began with a kiss, and days ended with him rubbing her legs. And they played together like children who had a secret language all their own. That kind of love just is. No one can teach it. You have to want it. And no amount of begging can bring it. And it cannot be manufactured. So yes, I need this, and so does he, to be as God intended, happy, at peace, contented and free. I'm lit, and you're just in service.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Janice?
Yeah, you got me emotional with that one, Lisa.
your grandparents' relationships sounds so, so beautiful. You said that that kind of love just is. You can't teach it. And I appreciate it. I can't remember exactly how you worded it, but the realization that the two of you are both good people, you just weren't, you were meant to be friends. I think
there was a
video that was posted in one of the groups that I think we're all in where the woman was saying he was a good man, he just wasn't my man, my good man. You know what I mean? So recognizing that what you have is appreciated, yes, is what you ask God for, but what you now have is not what you expected it to be. You wanted this love, and that love is out there. You just have to kind of let each other go so that you can find what's meant for you. This is beautiful. My goodness.
Absolutely. I agree. Lady A?
I thought it was great, too. I liked how you opened it up, the angels' tears from heaven. And then you spoke about your life being lonely, and you prayed that to be what a man expects you to be in a relationship. At first, I thought, and then you said it, that you lost yourself, but you found your creativity while being lost. And you realize, I think we hang on to relationships that we know really, really and truly, if we were honest with ourselves, we know they're no good for us. And we just kind of keep on going just to make it work or try to make it work, and it never really does. But I think that with you needing to find peace of mind, and you talked about your grandparents and that kind of love, and I think it's rare. I think that kind of love is very rare. Most people, just on my personal thing, I don't think most people experience that in their lives. And I was lucky. I had it. It was very brief because he died, but, I mean, I'm thankful that I had what I had, and I think I hate to see yourself sell yourself short. And as easy it is to say, find your own happiness, be your own happiness, be the author of your own orgasm and all the rest of it. I think, we do need to have a partner in life. We do need to love ourselves first before we have that partner. And that's the hardest job of all, I think, is to love yourself. You know, a lot of deep thinking again. Love that.
Oh yeah. I agree with both of you, divas. This piece, I had to sit back and breathe for a second because, when I think about my family, I didn't get to enjoy the good ones that were bringing, that had a positive energy. I didn't get to enjoy the love or actually be around the ones that had real love for me. I hate to keep saying this, but my family was very toxic. I never felt like that house I grew up in was home because it was always something, it was always a devil lurking around, being allowed to do whatever they wanted to do. So when I hear pieces like this and you speak about you cry out or you pray to spirit and the angels, think about angels' tears, I feel like they are whispered secrets to us. Man, this you got me a little bit emotional here.
Right.
This piece, it was really, really beautiful. Man, I'm kind of at a loss for words right now. But I love this piece, Diva. I really, really did. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much for your poetry. Okay. So I got something that I was working on yesterday, and I spit it last night on the pilot show for Fall Cram. our newest member of the Epiphany family. But I was so shook by the amazing poetry that I heard before my mic got open. I was trembling, and I hate to tremble when I do a piece because it makes me stumble over my words. But I'm going to do it again tonight because I'm a little more comfortable with you divas here. Okay? And this is called... All right, thank you. This is called Spiral Season. Round and around and around and around we go. Oh, now tell me, now tell me, now tell me, now you know. Not really sure how to feel about it. Something in the way you move makes me feel like I can't live without you, and it takes me all the way. Want you to stay. She used to write poetry when he filled her world with sunshine and rainbows. If only I could send my love to the moon every night, it would shoot straight to you on the dust of stars. Cover your heart and light the way to me, because I knew I'd found my happy when your eyes read the story my soul was telling, and it claimed my smile, and your arms became my safe haven. But bitterly, her sanity abandoned her the day she kissed clarity. That was the day she understood how this world would leave you torn and scarred. Finding yourself in spiral season when they bring the sun to you, then turn cold as ice. Nothing breaks like a heart. Nobody loves more than the brokenhearted. And no one is more patient than a wounded healer who just wants to love and be loved. And there's nothing more deafening than when you can hear how loud silence is when you're in it alone, falling apart. And you're praying for something to break that silence. But when you're broken inside, any sound is like the waves crashing upon the rocks. You try to fix your self-indulgent ways, but your body's weak and head filled with doubt as you choose to try and remove all of you from it, while telling yourself it's just not fair. Don't turn around, don't you dare. See, I believed it when they told me that love doesn't give up on you. But you can't love someone wholeheartedly if your heart is in pieces. So I asked you not to wish me away during the discovery of our heightened indifferences. Okay, but just as I was getting used to us again, you took your heart and ran. Now I've got a broken heart to mend again and brand new scars to tend. Now I stand at the ocean's edge in awe of unblemished charm and such natural abundance. Air, water, light, and sand, loving it all the while still holding on to remnants of what linger. Does it feel safe? So I have to turn off the urge to know what could have been. This garden will flourish once again. And that's it.
Woo, girl. That line, nothing breaks like a heart. Felt that gut. You said it. Oh my God. That was absolutely amazing, because that's very, very true. The fear of being in love is that you're going to have to experience something like that. It makes, especially if you've been broken before. The sacrifice to falling in love is being vulnerable to be broken that way again. That's amazing. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Again, I am still breathing through how all of that felt, man. So there's this transparency in your pieces that I truly, truly appreciate, because not only is it a glimpse, it's also something that's relatable, but you present it so, you make it palpable, and you show a way out while acknowledging what feels familiar, you know what I mean? There's a theme that I hear about pieces and being broken, and I heard something kind of recently that I loved also about broken things. That's where the light is poured into, those broken pieces. Mm-hmm. And it made me think about you. I can't pronounce it correctly, but the Japanese art form where they mend broken pieces of ceramic with gold, that is what I see when I hear these pieces. Like, there's this beauty that's there, and broken things, they're stronger. They're strongest at those points that have been mended. This is beautiful. I appreciate you so very much. I'm going to send you something too, because you made me visualize something. You know I'm going to send something.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have to agree with both of them. Like, I think, you know, you have such a gift in how you write, and I think the anticipation for always something better, better in the sense that it's good for you and more compatible for you. And that I always get the feeling your strength comes through, in the sense that I always feel like, you know, you're never going to settle for second best. You're never going to be play second fiddle to anybody ever again. You're going to be your own person, and you're not going to take any crap off anybody. I think we learn that eventually as we get older, and you've come into your own, and you really show that you're happy with who you are. You know, your self-love is evident, and it's healthy, and it's a good thing to be that way. And but you still have that longing to, you know, be accepted and to be loved, but there's no compromises, and rightfully so. I think it's important to be a strong woman, and being a strong person doesn't mean that you can't desire all the beautiful things that are out there at our fingertips that we could have that make us happier in our lives. And you know, you always portray that in such a positive way, in a positive fashion. I appreciate your writing very much.
Oh, thank you. My goodness, lady.
Can I add to that? I have come to know you as a friend over the last year or so, and you're such an example. Because finding your strength is so hard sometimes. And I see the way that you've come through so much, and you are this beautiful soul. And it is very encouraging and very much an example of who I want to be.
Wow. Don't make me turn on the waterworks, please. Thank you. You know, I love all of you guys, and I try to bring a lighter side of life to everybody, because it's so much negativity in this world. I'm not getting into all of this with you, darn it. I want to hear some more poetry, but thank you. I love you guys. So we got our first caller on the mic. We got ourselves a C-Double-34 music, y'all. Hey, C-Double, welcome to Diva's Talk. How you doing tonight? Oh, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me clearly now?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. How are you, ladies?
Great. Good.
Good to hear
very
you.
Very good. I enjoyed all your pieces. I enjoyed DJ Danielle on the ones and twos. You've got a great show going on.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate
You're welcome.
I really. How you feeling tonight?
I'm just like, okay, now I know what stoic means, I guess. I'm just a man. That's all I know. So thank you for clarifying all that.
Okay. Well, anybody can be stoic, man or woman, child as well, you know. And like you said, there are many different ways of determining it and different ways of them getting to develop that personality. So, but my question is, do you think, now that you say you have an understanding of it, do you think it is possible to be in and have a successful relationship with a person that is stoic?
At first, I was going to go Star Trek on you and say that's highly illogical. But if you choose this person, then I guess you would have to make it work. If you really love her or you really love him, I think you would have to make it work. But other than that, I'm not sure. Because I had a story about somebody who was kind of stoic, but I don't want to relive that one night stand. So
okay,
we're just going to leave that one be.
Okay. All right. Thank you
yeah.
for that. That'll definitely work. Thank you for that. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're very welcome.
C-Double, what did you
yes.
bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
I don't know if this will match what your topic is about, but I always go with my first instinct. So this piece is called I Remember You.
All right. The mic is yours.
Thank you. Walking down the skid row, wearing your skid marks in my mind, trying to clear out the database of you, and I mean all of you, who caused my mainframe to be compromised, blinded by the pleasure of your mountains and valleys. I became a casualty in this mortal combat as a fatality, which created a sub-zero finality. But we're talking about passion here. Would I take you back if given that one-night free pass? From God and my wife, would I accept the chance, knowing you'd still remember what we had? Let's take a second think back. Other than the sex off the charts and the chain, what else do you have to offer significant of a change in your personal growth, or did I leave you stunted? You found my profile on Facebook, and now I've become the hunted. I found someone above you that gives me good loving. Did you forget these words I told you? Go home to your husband, or whatever you used to keep your kitty lips buzzing. You should have thought of that before you treated me like I was nothing but a buster. I got you all in check, thing remains raw. You want to give it to me, but you need to put your hands where my eyes could see your agenda and transparency while you whisper you have no panties on. With your wrinkled stuff ran through like a champion. Hailing from Los Angeles, I guess that means it's rammed tough. My brothers in poetry want to know if I received that one more chance with you. I wouldn't enjoy myself in this torture being your dancing machine, because I remember the time you made me feel like I was in a jam. I'm glad you are alone out of my life, and it's okay. I really don't give a damn. I can't stop loving you because it goes against my human nature. Because if you were standing there naked, I would be tempted to take it, but then I'd wake up seeing you as a succubus on the number 7 bus. Remember that you never cared about us. So nope, I won't relive with you this horror film. That's that piece.
Yo. All right, yeah. So I'm gonna start with you, lady. Hey, what you got for that piece?
Well, you know, Clarence, you're very. I find you very. You are very. I don't want to say forceful in your ideas, but there seems to be, and sometimes tempering what you're saying, there seems to be a certain amount of regret that I feel from you when you're reading these pieces that you write. Like they were experiences of the past that you very much regret. And may I even go so far as to say you beat yourself up over it sometimes. And this piece here was one like that. I think that it's almost like you're trying to convince yourself. Excuse me if I'm wrong, but this is how I saw it as you read. That you're learning from mistakes you've made in the past, and it sort of sticks with you. And reminds you on a daily basis where you came from and where you are today in your life. And I really appreciate your honesty in your writing. You have a way of constantly putting forward your truth, and it's compelling. That's what I got out of it. I could be entirely wrong, but. I was moved by it, and always am by your honesty. Yeah.
Thank you, Lady A, because my transparency is a message for those who were simps like me back in the 90s. I was every R&B male group song that you could think of that put a woman in control, like After Seven's Ready or Not, Babyface As Soon As I Get Home From Work, Jodeci's Fiending, Take My Money, My House and My Car, et cetera, and so forth. God, the Holy Spirit made me who I am right now, the assured person that you hear right now. So hopefully
yeah.
Somebody gets that lesson not to go the way I used to go.
Okay.
It's very clear, you know, that the path that you're on, You do have these messages that are strong for everybody who reads you or hears you. So you know you're successful in that sense for sure.
Thank you again.
Awesome. Ms. Lips, what you got for that?
I kind of in the same vein as Lady A, except that I kind of see your pieces as you using your mistakes as your stepping stone to learning how to be the man that you are now. You know, you are the kind of man who took in the lessons of the things that he went through. A lot of guys let things just fall off their back and they keep making the same mistakes over and over again. You learned your lessons from the things that you did, and it made you the man that you are now. And I hear that in your pieces.
Thank you very much, Lady A. The funny thing is today, I ran into somebody today that had the requisite humongous breast out. And I was like, okay. I'm like, okay, hold it together. You know what she's about. Back then, she would have had me.
Yeah, you've learned the lessons along the way. And that's an amazing thing because some guys never learn the lesson. Or by the time they learn the lesson, they're of no use to anybody, including themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so I appreciate what you said.
You're learning those lessons made you the amazing husband that you are now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Janice?
Sorry. Yeah, I I love the directness. When you sneak your lines in, I end up finding myself giggling. It comes back to the directness, the power in what you're saying. You mentioned lessons learned, and I guess I have a follow-up question for that, because with the lessons and the intended audience, it sounds as if you're speaking to the woman, though. Like, what's the lesson that's being given to the woman who seems to be the audience in pieces like this?
With pieces like this, a woman should see, you could tell who is somebody that you can control and somebody that has it all together. You could see that in this piece, she's not going to have that same control that she had before. She can't get him back. Now, back then, oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All she has to do is call for, hey, I need a massage, and I'm living right across the street from you. And we broke up.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the lesson is sex is not love, and sex don't make a relationship.
You're right about that. You're absolutely right about that. I got stuck on one line, and I was trying to write it down, and then I got a couple of distractions. You know, folks want to text you when they know you're doing a show. My son is like, can you deliver a message instead of just calling his brother's phone? Mom, can you tell him such and such? You know what I'm saying? So it made me lose the last part of that line that you were saying. It says you can't stop. I can't stop loving you because it goes against. It goes against what was it that you said?
My human nature.
Okay, I totally understand that. Completely understand that. And I used to get angry at spirit because I would wonder, why did you make me with a heart that's so loving and so forgiving all the time? I mean, I learned how to let people go, just as you were saying, you know, but you just wonder why it is that you continue to not hold on to the things that they did to you. Sometimes I've gone through a period where I wanted to hold on to that anger. I wanted to hold on to that pain. And it might sound strange, but it was the because with me letting them go, it was the only part of them that I had to myself that wasn't, I didn't have to give up or walk away from. But then I realized that I did have to let it go. This piece was pretty deep. I liked it.
I thought you would have caught the nostalgia. I slipped it past you.
This time you did. You know I don't really miss nothing, but this time you did. So give it to me. Where was I supposed to get that?
You missed the Busta Rhyme, and you missed the Michael Jackson.
Your eyes can see something like that.
But I got to blame that on the distraction this time.
And blame it on the boogie.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, better than blaming
so
it. Yeah, it's better than blaming it on the alcohol. Yeah.
No, that was one. I think that is still my favorite Jamie Foxx song. Honestly. Blame it on
that's if he's still around.
I used to jump in my Honda. Put back my sunroof and play. I have that song on repeat. I'm trying to tell you, it was just something about that that first beat from that I don't know what it was, the bass. It just started out so smooth, you know. That was my, like, yeah, that's still my favorite Jamie Foxx song. But let me let you get up out of here. I'm going to escort you over there to Temptation Station.
I see a couple of temptations right there, so I'm trying to be good.
Somehow I think the Temptation Station is based on you.
Oh my goodness, Lord have mercy. Yeah.
bless you. RC Double, thank you very much for always supporting and coming through and giving us that amazing poetry.
Thank you.
Go on over here, get yourself a drink, sit back, put your feet up, take your socks off. Baby, baby, one love, one mic.
One love, one mic to all of you ladies.
One love.
Wow.
I love that he always comes through with some power.
Always, yeah. His pieces, he does. It's not just the words. He get, and the fact that he has a baritone voice, but it's his energy he projects. He exudes
manhood.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, ladies, we got another caller in here. I don't know who this next artist is, but I'm about to open up the microphone. We got area code 571. Welcome to Divas Talk. Who do we have on the mic?
Miss Automatic Charismatic.
Hey, Auto, welcome. How you doing tonight?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, I'm good.
How y'all ladies doing?
Of the Divas, yes. So, Otto, you've been listening.
Hello?
Since the show started. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
I had to move my headset around.
Okay. So, I know you've been listening to the show for the most part. And there's a question we need to ask. Do you think it is possible to be in and have a successful relationship with a person that is stoic?
Yes. You know, it's. I believe so. You know, it's all about, you know, when you accept somebody for who they are, the worst thing you can ever do is try to change somebody from who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Then take the acceptance away from them. If you knew this person was like that, but you were dating that person, then, you know, you either accept them for who they are or, you know. So I believe so. I mean, you can make it work. You try to make it work.
Okay. All right. That's what's up. All right. So, Otto, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight? Because you never disappoint.
Okay. I have to apologize. I didn't bring any. I didn't write anything. So I have to freestyle something.
Hold on. Can I stop you? Hold on. Wait. 1 second. I know you did not just come up in here and say you didn't write anything. I'm not used to you writing. I'm used to a freestyle.
Coming in with
I don't know what you are trying to get new on us. And we don't
I
know
thought
who
I
you
heard
is,
it wrong.
Right?
Okay. Maybe I missed
okay.
it.
Don't
I've written some pieces.
I know you have written. I know you can write. But we know you. Just like we know Gina Storm to be a freestylist, you are a freestylist. So don't come up here saying, I have to apologize. I ain't write nothing. For real, though?
Yes.
Let me move out of the way before I go off on you. Whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
All right. The name is Freestyle. It's called In the Beginning. Laying my words for your choice to open up your voice, to go ahead and explore and go ahead and open up that door. If in the beginning was us going through, you know how I am and you know how I view you. We can work things out. Just more little effort. Back and forth as we have a resource. Sometimes it feels like we're about to explode. But what can we do for our love to be on the road? You see, it's like living in different type of codes. You see, I know that you love me, and I touch you with all, everything that I bring. You are my queen, I'm your king, and everything that is us is a plus. In the beginning, you and I, we qualify. In the beginning was something so beautiful. So don't let that ending be something real different in the instant. Don't let that ending be something that changes our whole life forever. The ending, the Alpha and the Omega, the words that keeps coming back, and this is how we react. Love is something that's so real, something that in the beginning is how we feel. Remember how I met you. Remember the words we said to each other. You remember, I showed you. And when we had this type of relationship, I told you I love you. But in the beginning, that was the beginning. This is the beginning. Now we hold hands. We shall be in love for the ending. Mr. Automatic Charismatic, the lyrical engine, think is in the Milan Farb and Dry.
Wow, Otto. Wow. We'll start with you, Lady A. Just after that.
Was that one that you just, you did freestyle? Or did you have that written down?
Yes.
It was freestyle.
Freestyle.
I find that amazing in itself that you can spit a piece like that and have it come out, you know, cohesive and making sense and have a certain amount of power to it and just have it fly off your tongue like that. That's, to me, was pretty amazing, you know, and the content of your piece was amazing as well, because you can, you know, I sit there sometimes and have to really think about what I want to say and what I want to write down and how is it going to blend and all this kind of stuff, and you just have it slip off your tongue just as fast and as easy as can be, and that's pretty darn amazing, I think. Well done.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Miss Lips?
Yeah, I agree with Lady A. I am not the one who can just come off the dome with things. I got to write and rewrite and move lines around and all that kind of thing, and it is always fascinating me when I hear a poet just stand and speak, because my mind doesn't work that way. And to be able to be cohesive to a topic off the top of your head in that way is amazing to me. You know, because you know, stories that I tell, I love to tell a story, but it takes me a minute to put it in an order of some sort. So to be able to roll it off your tongue, it's quite amazing. And I've listened to you for quite some time, ever since I've been on Epiphany, and you never cease to amaze me with all the pieces that you come off the top of your head with.
Oh, thank you.
Dunny?
Yeah, what stood out to me was how, sorry, messages popping through. What stood out to me was how you tied in how there's work involved, and that's what we're talking about. Like, with these types of relationships, at times, one of the things that you mentioned, that the two individuals are moving, seem to move from different codes, right? And so it takes work. Sometimes you have to remember what brought you together and keep working at it. So that's what I'm hearing throughout your piece as you're sharing off the dome. You and Gina are ones who inspire me to, like, try it. Like, I may record it and just see if it sounds okay before I share it. But I swear this is inspiring. I love that flow, just being able to just say what comes to mind. And it's on topic, you know. So I appreciated that very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Although you know I'm a fan. That part where you said remember who I was when you met me. That right there, it speaks volumes about the relationship. Mm-hmm. Should you choose to get into any kind of relationship you choose to get into, that's very important that you remember who the person was that you met. Because a lot of times we say that people give you their representative, but that is a vital part of them. Because whether they choose to hide it or not, that is something that you will always remember. And you really shouldn't mm-hmm. have to say that to your person, but sometimes they can go into a certain attitude, and you got to remind them, remember who I was when you met me, okay? Now I'm still that same person, okay? So don't get new on me. I like this piece. I like this piece a lot, and I agree with my divas in what they said. That freestyle is a gift. I'm not going to say an ambient, but I wish that I could do that. I could say a couple slick words to you off the top of my head if I'm talking some shit, but I can't do a whole piece. I stumble. I'm like, Lisa, I have to go back over it and rearrange the words. You know what I mean? And do all kinds of tricks and shit to make my stuff sound good. And then I got to be sure that I actually read it the way I want it to sound, okay? But for you and for, I know a couple of other people that can do it. It's effortless. Yeah, it is effortless.
Yes. I listen to Gina, and I'll be amazed. Gina has so much compassion in her poetry. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, I mean, I always call her a freestyle queen. I mean that. I mean, it's just the way, the compassion that she, I, you know, I do freestyle, but that, she got a whole different type of compassion that I admire, you know? So, I mean,
yeah.
You know, she's one of my favorites when it comes to that freestyling,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, yeah. And I do want to put a disclaimer out there.
Here we go.
I want to say this. Please, parents, know where your children are.
Okay.
Because when I was at a train stop, there mm-hmm. was somebody trying to kidnap a child. So always know where your children are. That's all I have to say.
Absolutely, and I once again, I remember what you said last night about this. Was it last night or other night? Yeah, it was Monday night on the show. You were saying that you involved yourself in it and you prevented it. You was right on point with it. It thank God for you being there for that child, because you don't ain't no telling whether what would have taken place. You know, we got child trafficking, we got organ stealing, we got all kinds of things going on with these twisted monsters out here. So you were put in the right place at the right time, and I commend you for getting involved in that, because it could have went left.
Thank you.
It could have been any kind of way, you know. And we have to stay vigilant and more protective when it comes down to our babies. So thank you for that, Otto. Thank you very, very much. But I got the scooter along over here to the Temptation Station.
One love, one
take
light.
That bottle out of your pocket. Didn't I tell you stop trying to sneak liquor up in my club? You're playing with me. Give it to me. Give it to me now. Give me that damn bottle. Thank you.
I thought she was talking about me because I was trying to sneak a bottle up in the place.
You know I'm talking to you.
I was trying to sneak something up in there. So she was talking about me because I was trying to sneak something in there. I thought I got caught.
You already know. All right, Otto, thank you very much. I'm going to escort you over here to the Temptation Station. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Ladies. Amazing. I really love a freestyle. It's a gift I wish I could acquire, but I tried. I don't do nothing but bite my damn tongue trying to keep on going like that. But it is actually 10:32. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up on the 11 o'clock hour within another half hour, and I'm going to pay some more bills up in here. We'll be right back with some more amazing poetry. Welcome back to Divas Talk. You are listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Dialing number is 319-527-6300, and please press that one to engage us. Next up on the mic, we have the host of King and Queen's Quarters, which I am pleased to say that I am allowed to ride shotgun with him. He's also one of the family members of Epiphany Radio. We got ourselves a King Atterbury. Hey, King, welcome to Divas Talk. How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm feeling wonderful. I'm feeling very vibrant. It's that energy out here right now, the supermoon energy. I illuminate with all of that. How y'all ladies doing tonight?
Good.
Thank you.
Yes. So you've been hanging in the air and you've been listening to the show. I'm gonna ask you the question: is it possible to be in and have a successful relationship with a stoic person?
Of course, because the one thing is the true understanding of the nature between you and the other person is also going to be at one. You know, when you understand each other and you know what each other is about, that's when you resonate on a different grade of what is supposed to be and what's not supposed to be. Now, man, so you take it there and you go there. And the unification is beautiful. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Now, Ken, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight? Because you are one of the ones. You never disappoint.
Yes.
That's it, Leo.
Yo, don't be calling me out. I mean, for real. We ain't doing that.
Yeah, I'm Leo too. I get it.
Yeah, you know I know. I was married to one for over 23 years, and my son is a Leo, so I know how y'all do. Trust me, I know. It's an ego thing. Y'all can't help it. Yeah. It's all good, though.
Nah, I know. Facts. It's all good. Yeah, I have a piece for y'all show.
Okay.
This piece is titled "It's Only Me."
The mic is yours.
All right. Being in a natural state of refinement without alliance, my only climate is a condition formulated from an alignment centered around the best of what is or probably be. possibilities manufactured amongst degrees, who do we see? Images taken, visualization, memorized with thought. Where is my cause? I'm situated between winning after my loss. The dominated lifestyle of my mental made instrumental was not really potential until I found a beautiful window. Be there as a statue or a wonder if I'm in slumber. I am seasoned within the four, explored the wave runner. Exempt from what was, but now is, handle my biz. Giving all hope a kiss from a gift that never shifts. Tolerance that is prominent on deck, no need to check. I respect nothing less, giving you the best of my best. Be there or beware, nothing to fear, only sincerity. Witness the better me with prosperity. I am your gratuity, King.
Yeah. You are another direct one. You exude this energy where you want to hear me regardless. You want to understand regardless whether you want to or not. This is the energy that I get from you when you spit your pieces. You never stumble over. I don't think I've heard you use the same word twice, ever. You never stumble over your pieces, and you always tell it like it is. And, man, this piece was no different. You have always brought it to us like that, man. And I'm such a fan. So,
yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Welcome. Ms. Lips, what you got for this piece?
King Atterbury comes through with, for lack of a better term, big dick energy. He says what he said, and that's what he meant.
I'm hitting you right now.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
Oh, shit. Okay, Lady A.
You always have a positive outlook on pretty much everything that I've ever heard you spit and or discuss, and I think you have. It's like you refuse to succumb to anything that's negative at all in your life, and that shows, that shines through in your poetry, and it's always uplifting. I don't think I've ever heard a negative piece from you, and that's awe-inspiring when you think about having that kind of an attitude as part of your daily routine. It's just who you are, and I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Janice?
I definitely recognize the directness. You always bring the directness. I actually received a little bit of a little bit softer time, and that may just be me, but that's what I received. I appreciated there was a section where you talked about perspective, and that perspective affects what you receive, what you choose to receive. That was one point with what we were talking about today. It's how we view, our perspective affects how we view what the other person is putting out there. And, I appreciated this piece. This is, look, the closing line was dope, too. You said you're the gratuity. I have questions about that.
Gratuity?
Yeah, tell me what that means to you.
Because you can receive any type of gratuity that need be or want to be. You know what I mean? So just open your heart to what you need to receive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Well, thank you for that, King. Now, hold on. You can't be skating up out of here like that. Can you let everybody know what you have going on in the world of Epiphany Radio Universe?
But, you know, every Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, King and Queen's Quarters. You know what I mean? 9 p.m. Eastern. We rocking the house. You know what I mean? And I appreciate you riding shotgun with me. And also on Sundays, King Atterbury Inc., 1 p.m. Eastern time. Come through. What's your opinion on what you got going on from the one side of the realm entering into the new side of the realm, starting your new week in JW's Inkwell on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Let us know what you got going on. Talk about it. Speak about it. There's no censorship. Come through. You know what I mean? But it's always epiphany every day. Baby.
Hey, can you post that info along with the phone number and everything? Sounds in the event page?
Yeah, I definitely will.
All right. Now, my feet hurt. So I'm going to get one of my divas to escort you over there to Temptation Station. You go in there, grab yourself a drink, sit back, put your feet up, and take your socks off. Baby. One love.
How about Zanice? How about Zanice walk me over to the, to the interchange?
All right.
Don't worry,
all right.
Girl. You ain't going to get yourself in trouble. I'm sexy and beautiful all the way around.
I'm what you call
a gorgeous gangster. You know what I mean?
Oh shit. I'm not gonna comment. I can't. Thank you. One love, one mic.
You're welcome. One love, one mic, y'all.
Man, listen.
You and I are going to have a conversation later.
I need to write that down.
I'm tired. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm shy. All right, we're going to open up this next microphone to area code 515. Welcome to Divas Talk. Who do we have on the mic?
How you going? How you doing? It's Paul Graham, the poet.
Yo, I saw Paul Graham. How you doing tonight? Oh, man.
I'm great. I'm at work.
Well, I appreciate you hanging on. An amazing show last night. I got to say again, congratulations on your pilot. And I'm going to tell you, I smell success in the air. That show was fire. Here, it was hot last night.
Right.
All right.
Attitude.
Yes, I'm looking forward to more of those episodes, too. Absolutely. So, tonight we ask the question, is it possible to be in and have a successful relationship with a stoic person?
Okay, so upon actually looking up the definition, I realized that it'll be difficult, but it takes people to work. And the reason why I say that is because I realize I'm the stoic person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I catch my relationships are harder for me because I have this thing about being hurt, or if something bothers me or anything of that nature, I feel like it's okay. I'm just going to put it on my shoulders and I know I can do it. When she's yearning for me to express myself. And it's hard for me to just verbalize my pain, you know, so it will create a disruption. So I believe that it can work as long as the stoic individual is willing to work at it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Wow. Thank you for the transparency.
Yeah, I really.
Go ahead, Lisa.
I really appreciate that because it takes a lot for you to recognize that you are that person and to be willing to fight your own stoicism in order to be present in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I appreciate it. When it's worth it, it's worth it. You know, but I'd have never known that I was a stoic individual if it wasn't for this show and had me look up the word and was like, damn, That's me. I got some things I need to work on. This is what she's been asking from me. And what I was considering nagging, she was really just trying to help me find me.
Wow. That's what's up. That made me sit up straight just now. That's what's up. Okay. All right. And like I said, I appreciate your transparency. It takes a lot to not only recognize that, but to acknowledge it out loud that you are that person with that personality, because it shows that you are putting the work in. You actually want to make your relationship work. And I think it will improve with time because of that. So thank you for that. Okay. I feel like a therapist for my life. That's worthwhile. All right, so, Paul Graham, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
I brought a piece that actually kind of goes with the question of the show tonight called I Admit It.
All right. The mic is yours.
I admit it. I have a hard time expressing the emotions that reside inside of me. The forced confidence I'll allow you to see is really just a mask to prevent your knowledge of the tears that are forming in my eyes. You see, I usually hide my pain pretty well. But there are days. There are days when I feel like the struggle to defeat my depression is just a fight that I am no longer willing to fight anymore. Sometimes I even feel like the burden of life is already too heavy, but the weight is constantly growing, creating pressures on my brain that sends negative messages to my heart, telling me daily that I should just give up. And I admit it, that option does put a rare, real smile on my face. Because on those days, when I feel like the struggle to defeat my depression is a fight that I am no longer willing to fight, I am completely convinced that my existence has been nothing but a hindrance to all those who have come in contact with me, and I admit it. Sometimes I truly hate it here. I hate that I have to lie to my mother when she asks me questions like, hey, baby, are you okay? I quickly tell her that I'm fine, but I only get away with that lie over a text message or an inbox because I refuse to look her in her eyes because my mother knows when I'm lying. If she looks me in my eyes, she would then know that there is a war raging inside of me between good and evil, and to be totally honest, I'm not even sure which side my depression is on, and I have to protect her from that, so I admit it. I have a habit of bottling up my pain, refusing to share it until it is constantly shook and explodes on all those around me, leaving stains of my hurt on their lives. Let me ask you a question. Do you realize how hard it is to wash pain out of a heart that lives in someone else's chest? I admit it. Sometimes I just want to end it all. But on those days, when I feel like the struggle to defeat my depression is a fight that I am no longer willing to fight, I reach for the only relaxation therapy that I know. I grab my pen and I ink my emotion between two blue lines of college ruled paper. The dam of confidence is removed and the tears that I am afraid to show begin to flow, smearing the lines on my paper, but I keep writing. I write until those tears stop. I write until the pain eases. I write until I feel like I can make it one more day. I admit it. I have a hard time expressing the emotions that reside inside of me. The forced confidence I'll allow you to see is really only a mask to prevent the knowledge of the tears that are flowing from my eyes, but I usually hide my pain pretty well. But there are days. There are days when I feel like the struggle to defeat my depression is just a fight that I am no longer willing to fight. But today is not that day. In peace.
Oh,
good God.
Right,
We're going to start with you, Janine.
Yeah. This right here is the reason why I shared the piece that I shared. Because when a person goes quiet, all of this is what's going on. And if they don't get a chance to share, my God, like, that's the reason why I shared the piece that I shared. And so I truly appreciate the vulnerability. I appreciate the transparency, the recognition of where it can take you. The way you express this, the emotion that was in it, that's exactly what needs to happen. And then you showed how writing, thank God for writing, writing is how you get those things out of you. Thank you for sharing that. It's powerful. I am trying to read right now. My God.
Lady A.
Wow, this was, this really resonated with me. I'm not sure I can comment. I thought it was brave of you to bring that piece forward in the moment of your sorrow and the darkness, to be able to speak it out loud without criticism, is a way of reaching out to for help. I related quite closely with what you had to say.
Thank you, Queen. Appreciate that very much.
Wow. Ms. Lips?
It was the strength and the vulnerability of that piece. You're one of those poets that I'm going to fall in love with every time you spit, because you're so open with who you really are when you write your pieces. That line about healing the pain in a heart that's in someone else's body. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow. You're the strength in your words. That's why I'm a fangirl. That's why I'm a fangirl, for pieces like this where you show exactly who you are and you stand in it. It takes a whole lot of strength to be that vulnerable. That was amazing.
You know what?
Thank you.
Everything I wanted to say and harp on, you just did it, Ms. Lips. You just took it from me, especially that line. A heart that lives in someone else's chest? Are you kidding me? That touched me. that was a gut punch.
That would make me touch my pearls. That was,
girl, I'm trying to tell you that piece is so it's not just transparency. It exudes the strength that it takes to.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Admit pieces, you know, and to just it takes bravery to come out and say these things. It also it shows about your self improvement, that you have been working on yourself to get to this point, and it's only going to get better from here. I promise you that.
Mm-hmm.
That is the blessing that comes through the improvement and it getting better and strengthening your bond with your mate when you can admit who you are and admit to the things that you have done where we have all done things in the past that we know weren't right. And we came to the point where we know we had to do something to fix them. I commend you. I really do. Man, this is... Don't be coming up in here like, yo.
You know what else helped me? That acknowledgement that their resistance is a hindrance. That's what sat with me for me, because I comfortably sit in the pocket of quiet, but it is a hindrance. It can be a hindrance at times. You know what I mean? So I appreciated that thought so much.
Absolutely. Man, that's so dope.
Can I just say one more thing? I felt that it was important for you to speak this expression of yours, this experience of yours as a man, because so many men do not share that part of themselves and make themselves vulnerable. And I think it was that part alone was very important for others who are listening who feel the same way, other men in particular, I mean everybody, but men in particular, because they have difficulty, more difficulty than women to express themselves and to share their true thoughts. And I think that was very, very important that you did that tonight, and I thank you.
Absolutely. You know what it is? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. This particular piece was written, like I said, I was in a real, real dark place. I was reaching out to Van. He was there for me. J-Rob was there for me, so deep in. Like, I was leaning on men that I knew had a certain type of strength that I needed. And as hard as it was for me, for people, I knew if I didn't, something bad was going to happen. And when I wrote this piece, like, I literally was sitting down. I had my phone right there, and I had my gun right there. And I made a decision. And the decision, like, I battled with that decision. I sat at that table for about 45 minutes looking at my lyric app on my phone and my 38. And I was like, one of these has to work. Like, I'm either going to use this or I'm going to use this. And I thank God every day I decided to pick my phone up and write.
Somebody was praying. Somebody was covering you in light. Because, it could have went the other way. And I'm glad that you reached out. One thing I know, and I emphasize on this, men don't express themselves a lot of times because they don't have a safe space of trust. What they say and what they confide in you will be weaponized. So I'm glad that they were there for you and that you went ahead and you reached out. That's amazing. That is so amazing. And, man, this is awesome. Now, before I let you get off out of here, can you tell everybody what you have going on in the world of Epiphany Radio Universe?
Definitely, definitely. Every last Tuesday of the month, Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, will be presenting an episode of Cram Session. Next month, we already have our features going to be Poppy Woodard, a.k.a. Keynote, and our special our 30 music artist of the month is going to be a gentleman named Buddy Lee 318. So it's going to be another high show. We're going to have fun again, man. I can't wait to hear some music of Buddy Lee. He's a body call and a reggae type of guy, so it's going to be real dope.
Oh, that's a stop. Can you please post all that information in the event page? Can you get up out of here? Now I'm going to have my diva, Miss Lips, escort you over to Temptation Station. You go in there, grab yourself a drink, sit back, put your feet up, and take your socks off. Baby, baby. Thank you.
Come on, bro.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
I'll be fangirling, but I can walk you over.
I'm on my way, baby.
Hey. Wow. All right, we're going to get into this. We're going to open up this mic to this next artist. This is my brother coming through. And another host on Epiphany Radio. Got ourselves Mojave. Hey, Javi, welcome to Diva's Talk. How you doing tonight?
I'm prepared. I was really chilling, listening to Paul Cram do that amazing poem, rocking out, listening to the show, having a good time, resting and relaxing. And then poof, he's like, I'm calling next. I was like, next? What? Who? Me?
Yes. I don't think any of us was ready, but I'm so grateful that he came through with it like that. That's awesome. Man. Now, you've been listening to the show, so I have to ask you, is it possible to be in and have a successful relationship with a stoic person?
Absolutely. You can have a successful relationship with anybody as long as you know you're in a relationship. Somebody could be stoic. Someone could pass gas all the time. What if the man does what they do? You know, when somebody comes and they Uzi weighs a ton, that's what Paul Cramp came in here. Bro came through. I was just like, oh, that's heavy. And I was like, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm going to say something crazy. No offense. Because I was like about to be in tears and shit. I was like, damn. You know.
Yeah. He came in here and burned a couple mics tonight.
But that's just who Paul Cram is. So, you know, and the show was amazing. And it's about being, you know, Pissy being here, you know, setting stuff on fire, doing all kinds of stuff. You know, keep that away. It's just happy. But to seriously answer your question, yes. Because at any time, like, you know, there's a whole set of people in the world that thinks I'm entirely too serious and don't talk to them. And they don't know it's because I don't really like all them up.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're so serious. Like, and some people know, be like,
well, it's all good. It's all good. I've seen you serious, but I know you a little bit better than that. So I couldn't even put you in that. That word doesn't even come to mind, stoic, when it comes down to you. Because I think all of us have that part of us where we have to take ourselves seriously, and then we have to just be, you know, a little bit looser and more comfortable around the ones that celebrate us and not tolerate us. So, you know, it's all good,
that's true.
Though.
It's all good. Some people you don't even know they laugh. Like, yo, that person laugh? Like, yeah, they laugh.
Yeah. Well, Javi, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight? Because you, y'all just prepare yourself, because you know he make love to us through his pieces, right?
Right. I just
went
and got a towel and put it in the chair because I know Javi get ready to make it wet here.
That's the problem. That's the problem right now. You know, he's going to
What is one of your aliases? King Drip? Is that it?
Yeah, that's King Drip, but we're not doing Drip. King Drip is not, he is not making an appearance tonight. You are stuck with Hot Rocks this evening. That's what you got this evening. And
right.
there's not going to be any musical interlude. I'm sorry. We are going to do a straight out comb and rock that way. I'm sorry.
It's not always the words, it's the way you present it, though.
Thank you.
Well,
okay.
I will not be doing that today. I will not be having any panties in my hand this evening, associated moisture or wetness that will not be appearing this evening.
I know his next movie because he could say Jesse Nimble Jesse quick and it still sounds good.
Right.
Okay.
A certain performance.
All right, Hobbs, what you bring?
And arousal. It will not be making an appearance this evening. I'm sorry. This is what we will not be doing. Okay. All right. I'm going to just do something different. Y'all ready? I'm just do something different. All right? Ready?
Mm-hmm. The mic is yours.
I've got three poems in my head, three of them, running around like three badass baby kids, and they won't go nowhere, won't sit down, won't shut up, won't sit still. They keep touching everything. They keep touching each other, talking to my mind's eye, leaving my mind dirty. And I've tried talking to them. I've tried to calm them down, saying, look, I just need to concentrate so I can get you up. Well, one was screaming. The other one started to shout. The first one said, shit, I'm going to be some hot shit. Hardcore more, you know, I take no prisoners. I rob you of your sense to brush your ears wide open. Have you bleeding like mentions? I'm the original rude boy, palm so blunt. I get your mind high off of all kinds of isms. Racism, classism, sexism, exploding like jism to your frontal lobe. The sick ass comet, rape your imagination, leaves you pregnant with freedom. Dangerous poem. When it makes even the most ignorant think. The bully that revolution is had my thoughts in a headlock until I had to negotiate for him to stop. With an attitude the cop was the love poem. And on the real, all I heard, she said, I just want to feel. Like supposedly her and imagination got each other off so many times that few could resist her rhymes. She could screw a haiku into having premature capitulation, break up a couplet, turn some prose into some hoes for some mental masturbation. But she said, she's not that kind of poem. She said, I'm faithful, and I'm ready for the reader. For the lover and the listeners, for those who wait to kiss her, they would find themselves wet with fantasy and dripping with dreams. So often skilled, she can enter into any imagination and leave them fulfilled. But I killed all notion yet. I told her, hey, step back. Because a gang of poets that ran too many quatrains on you too many times. I mean, how many times can you come within a rhyme? I mean, how many ways can you count years, months, days past making love by candlelight, rose cutter, full tub, incense burning, bathing in passion, desire yearning? This trip down lover's lane is one of you to take. I told her you break. Yo, you're giving me a headache. The third poem was, how do you describe? Confused. Mad that he had yet to be used. He was like the mad poet, always tell me why. He had mad talking shit about the other two, saying, yo, see, love, that hoe can't even tell you how many lovers she's been through. And revolution's always trying to creep up on you, talking about how we bust you in your thoughts till you see red, black, and green, or for the red, white, and blue. And he only give you a crumb or two. And I bet you he's through. See, me, I'm a good poem. I'll be unforgivable for you. Upon hearing this word, I say, hey, that might be true. So I thought of some good verbs because he might be saying the shit that might be true. I knew he might be the poem that came out and drops, written on poetic moments and napkins and desktops. He could be that poem running you about while you were walking in the hood and only get some paper to lose him for good. So I'd get ready to write. That's some way he would be like. He said, I'll be the truest type poem, the bluest type poem, one that will always be down the call, saying me, you will always get applause. Women will drop their jaws because my poetry quick came to stay. You won't go home alone that night. I'll expand the mindsets and bless them with jewels and nuggets of wisdom. And when they leave, they say, yo, who turned off the light? I'll be lyrical platinum. Yo, verbs will bling bling. Yo, I have the crowd testifying, standing up, getting ready to sing. Yo, let me out. I'm getting ready to do my thing. He had me feeling all type of strong. Like right now he could do no wrong, but I get the paper out. This motherfucker is gone. Had me mentally concentrated trying to think about on the pick game if he was really kicking it. Then I realized, this is the motherfucking poem that just talks shit. A fucking wannabe poem that never had no flow. Quick spit from a tree pole hoping their legend would go. A hoet's best friend, a poem they will always throw in most open mics in verbal precipitation like snow. Sick of his shit. Sick of their shit, they all had to go. So I pulled out my John Hancock lot and put their asses in line. I told them to reach your hands up and stick them for my mind. Told them, revolution, you come out first. Put your rhymes in my head and lay down your weapons verse by verse. Love came out next, an intellectual pornographic. She made up on me trying to kiss me on my neck, trying to get me mentally wrecked. And I said, oh, slow down, sister. Don't make me fill the hole with holes. You want to shake your ass, slide down this pole. I sent her to my penile. She's chilling in my pen. I ain't seen it in a while. But the last poem was tell me how you got those punchlines. It's going to make it hot. I got these love poems that means the ladies give you what they got. Whatever you need, I'm versatile. I'm bitextual, if need be. If I write and let live, spit and let be. And I said, You will not have me looking or acting like a street poet or over-sexual like a hoe, there's no doubt. I said, you the type of stupid poem that gets you stabbed in a shootout. So I blew his brains out. Laid in the rest, covered in white sheets, 6 feet deep in blue line, eulogized him in golds and gave respect and rhyme. And when the prose police showed up, my defense would be, I'm not guilty by reason of poetic insanity. Poem.
Listen, that was sick.
Yes. Woo. Oh my God.
I couldn't get my shit off of mute.
Listen,
that
was hot.
Yo. I don't even know you anymore.
That was so cool. That was really cool.
That was amazing. And I recognize each entity. I've seen each entity in so many people. Oh, my Lord.
I'm telling you, that was a fire piece. Damn. That right there.
How'd you not run out of breath?
I don't know.
That was that was a performance. That was that was a that was a play. It was it was it truly was a performance of genius. I thought it was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yo, I haven't heard you go in like that in about 2 years.
I don't think I've ever heard him go in like that.
Oh, I've heard it before, but that
sounded
was
different.
All right, you know what? You and Paul Cram came up in here. Y'all gonna have to pay this bill on these microphones. I'm trying to tell you now, okay? Burning up everything. You gonna set the studio on fire? Damn, that's awesome. Oh man, I loved it. I loved it. Yo, yo. All right, you know what? That was an amazing piece. And we need you to tell us what you have going on in the world of Epiphany Radio universe.
Uh-oh. I'm glad you asked me that question. Hold on. Let me get it right. Hold on for a second. Get the music right. Hopefully, y'all can hear that one. This Tuesday, on Epiphany Radio Universe, a for real entertainment network, where we encourage you to take your talks on. Baby. We welcome you to Bostic Open Mic, featuring Peter Verrata Poetry, Jason Lee, as well as Mr. Richie Vedic, Mr. Yes Love, the man known as Walking Erotica. Last week is hosted by yours truly, Pop Rock, aka King Good, as well as Queen Simmons, aka Mahogany Soul. It'll be an incredible night of poetry. We welcome you into the realm of beautiful words. Those that come in will understand that the flyest poets, the newest people, the performers, all things will happen here on the Epiphany Radio Universe. Last week of Mike. Join us. We boldly go for poems from the world before. I like putting commercials as a whole game. Make my own, anything else. So that's my commercial.
Very nice commercial at that. I have to say, you very, very nice commercial.
He had to come in with the panty dropper voice anyway.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay, because we even sing well. Even it out, because I had my fist in the air like, yes.
Right. Okay.
And he just brought me back down. So thank you for that. Thank you very much, Javi. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm in the process of reclamation, so, people forget that, I built slam teams, I built my city up and stuff like that, so you're going to see a reemergence of slam Sam Hobby is going to start making appearances, you know, because I think people get used to the drip. And probably the drip, there's nothing better than drip. The drip and more drip, so help me God. But, you know, Sam Hobby is going to make appearances. He's going to start doing different pieces. And I got this whole section of heartbreak that I'm just going to visit upon people. So be prepared. Be ready.
All right, we ready. We ready. All right, Harvey, thank you very much for the amazing fire piece.
Respect,
your presence,
Lady A.
All
that. And, of course, my favorite village on in the entire planet.
I'm going to escort you myself on over to Temptation Station. Go in there, grab yourself a drink.
No,
two steps
on the way over there.
All right, Harvey. One love, one bite. Thank you.
One love, one bite.
I love how Harvey can go from being like Malcolm X to Barry White to Cat Williams all in one conversation.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, that was perfect. Perfect description.
Ladies, let's get to this next artist on the mic. Up, we have the other host, the other half host of King and Queen's Quarters, and host of Mahogany Soul Juke Joint. We got us a Silvina, a.k.a. Queen Simmons, a.k.a. Mahogany Soul. Hey, Diva. Welcome to Diva's Talk. How you doing?
I know y'all not going to put me behind what Javi and Paul Cream just did. Y'all not going to do that to me. Not tonight.
Listen, don't cap. Because you're going to come in here and bust your head, too.
That mic is going to burn up. Ain't no mic. I'm going to have to scream from the back of the room, and that ain't even, you know.
Oh, no, you're going to stay right here.
The stage is on fire and burned down.
We got another one. We got another one. Step over to the left. We got another one right there. See? Yes. We stepped up.
Okay.
Good. Oh, man.
Jesus.
How you doing tonight, girl?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. I am enjoying the show. I didn't get in as early as I like, but hey, ladies, how are y'all doing tonight?
Good. How are you? Good to hear your voice.
You too. Yeah. You too, Lady A.
Yeah.
Essentially, Janine, Felisa, Litz. It's great to hear you guys.
I'm putting on my seatbelt. Duina comes in with the cap like she ain't going to do nothing, and then she blows you out the chair. So I'm putting my seatbelt on.
You're absolutely right.
I'm
right. I already know to expect greatness, so I already know. So I'm ready. But I gotta ask you the question of the evening: is it possible to be in and have a successful relationship with a stoic person?
Is it possible? I think for me that would actually be pretty good, because a person who is like, I think that you can be in a relationship with a person if you can learn to understand and enjoy them as they are. You know what I mean? And I think that a person who enjoys their silence and their peace, and they may not be full of emotion, but you don't have to necessarily be full of so much emotion to be full of to be communicative and to let a person know that you care, you know. But you also don't need to really change who you are in order to become something to someone else. I was saying when we were having this conversation, like, I feel like too often we get involved with people who are different, and we're like, oh, you know, I like them, but this thing, and it's a really big thing that's really important to you that person just might not be good at. And it's like, now you spend the rest of the time trying to tweak and twerk or resenting this person for being who they were when you met them, you know? I feel like I would honestly prefer someone to be who they truly are and just communicate to me what they need than to be, like, you know, over the top, just because I have, like, issues with, like, touchy-feely sometimes, or, like, I can be very, you know, and like, which is seems to be a common thread, is, like, when you suffer from things like depression and stuff like that, you have a way of coming across stoic because you don't want to throw all your emotions on the people that you care about sometimes. So, like, I can see that as being a part of how I tend to be. But it's not that I do not care about people. I try to show the people that I care about as much and as often as possible how I feel about them. But, yeah, a lot of people that know me really well, it's like sometimes I can be very, you know, they call it introverted or what have you, like that. So I would rather for a person to be who they really are. That's long answer, sure.
But that could be interpreted as being a very private person too. You know, that you remind me of someone who is private. Like, that's what you don't internalize things to make it look, you know, make your situation worse than it has to be. It's not. This is what I see you as. It's just somebody who enjoys the privacy of your own mind and your own life. And I wish I was more like that. I wear my heart on my sleeve, and that's not always a good thing. But you, and I think it's an attribute to be satisfied with your life and being a private person.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think for me, a big part of it is, like, I just kind of, you know, up until recently, I'd come to the belief that, like, if you knew, like, my whole story from the past, like, I don't believe that you can truly count on anybody. Someone asked me, do I trust them? And I'm like, I trust that you wouldn't do anything to intentionally hurt me, and that's why I let you close enough to me. But, like, true and honest trust, I ain't learned that well. So it's like I sit with a lot of things sometimes, and processing those things help me to write and help me to relate to people in different ways. But, like, sitting alone with my own thoughts and ideas sometimes is very important. And sometimes people in my life take that to mean, like, I'm just distant, when it's not really it. It's just that I need that time for myself to process a lot of, you know what I mean, and make it make sense to me in the world that really don't make sense to me, to be quite honest with you.
Absolutely. But I call it being reserved, not so much stoic. That's a whole different energy. I wouldn't give that to you. Very reserved at times, because I can be that way myself. Very quiet. Mm-hmm. But I am observant, and when I need that, it's like you said, it's very important for me to have that alone time with my thoughts, because my mind has a tendency to race, and I need to organize my thoughts. I had to teach myself that you can't shut your thoughts off. You have to acknowledge that they are thoughts. They are there. But you can organize them. It ain't easy to master that, but you can do it. And the part of me being alone with them is a major, it plays a major part in my mental well-being. Some people can be all over the place and just keep going. They can stay on go. I can't do that. I have to stop every so often and check my damn self, seriously, because mine can get out of hand, and it can bring out a part of my personality that is not safe. Let's put it that way.
Right. And then you crazy. You know what I'm saying? I feel you. You call me crazy. But it's like, yeah, I totally feel that. But to meet someone who's like, oh, I need your attention all the time, and I need you to always be this exuberant, bubbly person, I'm like, you shop elsewhere for her, because that's not really me. But when you got my attention, you have my attention. But, like, sometimes my attention has other things that I need full focus on. Sometimes that is me and my time to myself and a person that care about me or would want to be in my life would understand that. You know, a person who don't belong would see that as either a challenge or something to fix or adjust, and we just don't need people like that in our lives. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The ones who try to fix that,
absolutely not.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I don't need rescuing. I need you to just give me 5 feet in 5 minutes, and I'll be right back. That's what I said.
All right. 5 feet in 5 minutes. I was.
I mean that shit from the bottom of my heart. Please, just back up for a minute. I'll be back. Thank you for that input. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I like the strength in that position. I like the that it's not that you're cutting anyone out, it's that you need your space to be who you are in that space. I like the strength of that position.
It was years and years and years where whenever someone would ask me like therapists and stuff, like how you feel, I'm like, I honestly feel like I showed up every day to a football game in a tennis skirt. You know what I mean? Like I feel ill prepared. Like I'm just not in the right space to be who I am, or like, you know, to do what I showed up good at doing. And now it's like, you know what? I'm just going to try my best to own that voice inside of me that's always been silenced in order to be able to compete in arenas that I didn't feel like I belonged in. Now it's like, listen, what is for me is for me, and what is not, that is for someone else. And I bless them to have it. You know what I mean? And anything else is, I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting for something that don't belong to me. You know what I mean?
I'm so happy that you women are in my life. I learned so much.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sure. We got to get to this poetry because we got other people behind you, darling.
Snap. It's 11:30. We all in a therapy session. We need to sit together.
Exactly. I appreciate it, though. Yeah. I really, really appreciate it. You guys make this work, you know, and it's greatly appreciated. So, Queen Feminine, a.k.a. My Mahogany Soul. I like that, My Mahogany Soul. What did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
Okay, I got this poem called, so far it's called Feel Me.
Okay, the mic is yours.
All right. I can't sing, but I'm going to. I need you to miss me. I need your attention. Tension and anxiety wraps around my neck like a too tight scarf with a noose-like effect. Breath buried beneath the off-kilter tilt of my autonomic nervous system. Unclench your teeth and shoulders from ears. Recolor your knuckles in an effort to reorganize, to recognize my being, redirect my fear. You must be brave. Sirens and strums of racing blood fill my ears. I guess the anxiety band is all here. They play instruments unique to each reason that I should fold. To go back home, pretend that it don't feel like the fate that met Lot's wife, pretend that I belong. So that the oddity of sitting alone, indulging in art, don't feel so wrong. That the hopes for a place to open up my soul's throat ain't a damn dope-ass coping mechanism. That the courage to admit that I need to be felt completely don't earn me a right to try to get you to feel me. You feel me? See, the universe seems to record a sort of accountancy. Checks and balances, credits and debits, it still escapes me on what page I reconcile this change at my big age, this drive to page, this drive to places where I can just feel my soul blossom with the honeysuckle sweet that life never seemed to afford me. or should I say, I never afforded me. Ignoring that niggling need, I wish I had a better metaphor for how many years I let my voice go unaccounted for, bound to a bloated, obligatory body bearing some title I let turn albatross around my neck. All because, you know, two tight suits that don't fit often find a way to tatter and rip at strange seams, no matter how poignantly we point strung together talking points and platitudes. It's the fallout we pretend we ain't used to, but I need someone to clap for me, and I need your direction. The protection and comfort of soft words often seems an absurd place to perch my burdens. Though it lightens the load, it also strains the ropes folk tow. It must feel like fool's errand, loving a woman so stubbornly set on loving something and simultaneously running from it, consequently abusing another plucked up angel feather to give me just enough of a hit to keep me going. Mama, some days I just want to call it quits, but the pain seems to fade when they allow me to spit, but I don't think that I fit in like this, so please, I need somebody to come get me, and I need you next to me, yes I do. It's irresponsible for me to expect you to convince me to believe in me, but when the snaps die down, the ground seem to have me in a chokehold, feeling sentient and earthbound. The existence of every noun that don't sound like soul work on soliloquy don't appeal to me. In reality, seems like lovely things to leave for later. This can't be safe or a sustainable way for grown folks to behave, and as art and life often imitate, each state I feel the thrill of little deaths of things holding on to me that give birth to nothing. I feel roots reflushing with the nourishment of a stronghold on a love that makes my soul glow. I feel a tenderness in my vein. I feel like gilded light shining, baby. I feel my edges growing with a soul knowing finally what it feels like to welcome herself home. At least that's what it feels like, but the fact remains, I feel real different with a mic in my hand, surrounded by dope poets who feel the same, imbibing on the manner of nourishing my soul as I should. Hey, voices in my head, stop trying to make me it seem like outrunning something into someplace good ain't a damn good thing. Now, if you please, I need someone to clap for me, and I need your attention. That's that piece.
Oh, woo! So y'all just come up in here and burn up the whole damn studio, the supply mic.
Blow my wind back and keep going.
Sheesh.
Woo!
Girl, that was amazing. That was absolutely amazing. Need one. Oh my God. That right.
Thank you. I love the difference that we're getting tonight too. Like, we're hearing both sides. Well, not even both sides, because it's more than just two sides, but we're hearing from those who have said, you know, it's difficult for me to express these emotions and this is the reason why, and then we get pieces like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, that was, wow, I'm at a loss. I've talked about this piece before too. I'm gonna be all up in your inbox, but
it was amazing. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
For me, the piece was like, I feel that, I understand that, because I had stood on the stage and spit a piece and gotten no reaction from the audience. So I understand that I need body to clap for me, you know, because when you put yourself out there, you're putting yourself out there for the feedback from the audience, and when you don't get it, it makes you wonder if you even should be there.
Yeah.
So I get that part of that, you know, but it also takes a lot of strength to stand in what it is that you're convicted to write, even if the crowd don't get it all the time.
Right. And then also just the nature of, like, feeling like this is something that you're passionate about, and then standing in a space where it feels like everything is telling you go do something else, but it's like I just need to know that there's a good reason for feeling good doing something that makes, you know what I mean, something that means something mm-hmm. so much to me, gets to grow and gets to be shared with other people, and it's encouraged. That encouragement that I get from, like, you know, my Tiffany family, my, you know, the Honey Dripper family, you know, because, like, my real family is like, you grown, you probably should be doing something different. A lot of times I get that feeling. So, you know, this piece is kind of like me feeling like I want this for myself. I want to enjoy expressing myself this much. So sometimes that encouragement means a whole lot, even if it's just a couple mm-hmm. claps and snaps and a little note in your inbox letting you know that somebody was really feeling your piece or different things like that. It's encouraging, and that's what I'm going for. So,
well, I've watched you evolve over this last probably year, and I so appreciate your pen, and I appreciate your expression, because it's hard to be that vulnerable sometimes. You know, and you are growing in leaps and bounds, and it is very well seen on my part. I can't speak for anybody but me, but you are an amazing poet.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
I agree with what's being said. I think that you have firstly, your voice is so beautiful, but this was really a piece of who you really are. And I think with what you said about, you know, getting your poetry out there, and some people think that you should go to do something else, I don't think you should do that. I think because most of us can say mm-hmm. that, you know, family members think that it's, you know, they don't even want to hear the poetry. And so you do have to be true to yourself. But there was a few things that you said in your piece that I really loved. And could relate to as well, is that your voice goes unaccounted for, and it can be like an albatross around your neck. And mm-hmm. then we pretend, you know, we pretend that we're okay and all of that sort of jazz. But I love mm-hmm. that. I need someone to clap for me. I need your direction, the protection of soft words. And I really love that. And there's no shame in needing. People make fun of, quote, needy people. But mm-hmm. there's something beautiful about being that vulnerable, and that you can admit that you need someone in your life other than yourself. Because, you know, we can make ourselves happy, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, ultimately, there's that little piece in our bodies, that little spot where the only thing that will fit in is the love of someone else. And that puzzle piece won't be filled until that person walks into your life. But I think that you really brought this to life, and I'm clapping for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Lady A. I appreciate it. All right. I appreciate you. Sweet.
I am always going to celebrate you. I appreciate you. I love you. I got to escort you on up out of here. That amazing piece.
Okay.
I got to get another fire extinguisher on the way over here to Temptation
Station.
Lounge. At this point,
we just need to put the foam on the floor. That fire retarded stuff.
All right, Queen Simmons, a.k.a. My Mahogany Soul. I got to get used to saying that, so I'm going to start calling you that more often. Thank you for coming through. But wait a minute now. You cannot escape. You can't skate up in here. You got to tell people what you got going on in the world of Epiphany Radio Universe. Then we can skate.
Okay. All right, of course. So it looks like apparently I will be on co-hosting Honey Dripper 2.0 podcast on Tuesday night. And not this Friday, but next Friday night, I'll be back in the Juke Joint with my Mahogany Soul Juke, 9 p.m. right here on Epiphany Radio. And the topic is going to be grown folks business. So I hope you guys will roll through. And yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Come through and join you. Yeah.
Come on, Diva, let's go grab a drink. Put your back, put your feet up, take your socks off.
Baby, baby.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Woo, Diva, we got one caller left in queue. Let's open up the microphone to this artist who happens to be one half host of the Just Jay and Gina show. We got ourselves. Just Jay, welcome to Diva's Talk. How you doing tonight, Jay? Just Jay, you there? Muted? You doing
hey,
like
I'm
your partner mutating?
No, I'll be mutating. Nah, I'll be on that button. To each his own.
Welcome. Good evening. Thank you so much for sticking around and holding on and getting on the mic for us.
Oh, yeah. I go to work tired tomorrow. I don't care. I got to be here for this.
That's what's up.
That's not what's up. Don't tell people that either.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Because I done sat and helped
yes,
with them plenty of shows with one eye closed and the other one barely open. So I understand.
That's what I say on the Friday. Love to get me through here.
That's what's up. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, speak to my other divas up in here. We got Zion.
Hey, ladies.
Yes.
How y'all doing?
Yes.
Who all in the house?
Okay. It's Lip.
Lisa Lips.
Lady A.
Hey, Lady
yeah.
A.
And essentially,
I thought I heard another one in there.
She's in here, but she,
hey,
she
here.
Had to.
I'm here.
Oh, she okay.
Oh,
she's
back.
She's back.
Is that what you're doing?
Nah, I'm just trying to mess up one of these.
All right,
yeah.
How you doing, Danielle?
Hear you.
I was about to be rude and go straight into my poem. Thank you, Danielle, for being the etiquette police. Stop
all right,
your
so
brains,
wait, wait now. Before you
got
go
real ladies
piece,
up in here.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Before you get into your piece, I got to ask you the question of the evening. Is it possible to be in and have a successful relationship with a stoic person?
Yeah, but I believe they would need a good counterbalance. There used to be a whole a line of thinking that stoicism was the best way to be. It accentuated good emotions, but it downplayed the hell out of negative emotions and made you just like if there's nothing you could do about it, you just accept it. And that bothers some people. They feel like you didn't give up, but, you know, you probably didn't came to a realization of there's no sense in trying to fight this. You're just going to go ahead and accept it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good philosophy came out of it, too. Aristotle, Socrates, and all those guys. To sit there and listen to their philosophies and see where they came from as far as their belief that this stoicism is the best thing to have. It makes for pretty good read. Not all of it is accurate. Some of it is dated. But at the same time, it does show you their line of thinking at that time with just using pure stoicism.
Okay.
Honestly, I feel like this happened to current thinking as well, because there are people who do not want to. You have one time to express something that frustrates you, and then after that, they don't want to hear it anymore. We're tapping to that right now.
That's one of the negative aspects of it, especially if people abuse it. I mean, anything that you have and a person go ahead and say, like, well, I'm going to go ahead and use this against other people, is being abused at that time. I mean, you can have some real positive things, and you can abuse people with those positive things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Appreciate that feedback, that insight. Now, you closing the show out tonight. Okay.
Oh, no. First it was Paul Cram, then Mojave, then Edwina. Oh, no. I'm feeling quite set up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm
getting with the cat. You know he's going to come in here and blow up things.
We already know.
I got two telephones that's down. I only have one telephone that I've been pulling my poems from, and it's exhausted. So I don't know about all that, Miss Lips.
Mm-hmm.
You never fail.
You did not hang on all that time. See, I'm in the studio, so I see y'all listening. I see the numbers and the names, okay? I see y'all listening. And you did not stick around all this time just to give a little bit of input and insight on the question. You came to give us some fire poetry.
If you had seen some of the things that I was doing here, you'd be like, shame on you.
Uh-huh. With that being said, I'm going to get out the way. I'm going to adjust the spotlight on you. And whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
All right. Then this poem is called Pieces of Me. Pieces of me are scattered like chaff throughout my poems. My words are but a breath blown on a breeze, whistling verse and cadence. As the hairs of my neck stand on end, I know that I'm being watched by an invisible assailant. Poetic passages assault my mind daily and force my hand to the pad to outspill my ink onto the loose leaf. If I should die now, let my parting be brief, breath fleeting, as these words escape from my clenched teeth, seized like a heart arresting. And the fight is real, like a cur dog that is starving for a scrap of meat. You see, this piece of me is the beast, this me, like fine oil rubbed on water, slicking the surface into a kaleidoscope. A kaleidoscope wish-whooshing on the waves from my wake, while I'm drifting like a man of war into a war that I do not understand. But inside, I can't stop fighting. Poem.
See what I'm talking about, Diva?
Yeah, he's coming here with the introspective piece.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all doing stoicism. This is my most stoic piece.
Yo,
making
that was fun.
Making me think about stuff after the show over.
But Jay,
appreciate
you
ladies.
Have such a beautiful... it's your flow, it's your voice. You have this soft directness that is so, it's just good. It's just really, really good.
Thank you, sis.
And I appreciate it. I really do. I could actually like go through an audio book of yours if you got one.
Well, I do that old Epiphany audio book of poems. I think if we all throw together like 5, 6, 7 poems, put them down on audio, I think it would be a smash. Just imagine a CD that just got Epiphany Radio on it, didn't have all the hosts on it. It'd be a dog.
Oh, man. I'm squealing about that. Internally, I'm squealing. Trust me. That's a, yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah,
really,
that storyteller. I love that.
Thank you.
That would be the Epiphany experience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'll be, you know what? Jot that down. Wait a minute, let me write that down. The Epiphany experience.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. And Jay, before I let you skate up out of here, can you please tell everyone what you have going on in the world of Epiphany Radio Universe?
Oh, well, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, me and Gina Storm will be having Frequency on. Frequency popped up last show and spit a piece, kind of burned things up around there. We're going to go ahead and give this man a chance to go ahead and tell us his truth. He had to flee Liberia at the age of 5, seen a lot of terrible things before he got here stateside. He had a nice little pathway to getting to be the man that he is. We're gonna go ahead and step into some of them steps that led to the guy that he is today, and why he's such a rich poet. On the small house side, we have the kitchen. That's Saturday, 1 o'clock Central, 2 o'clock Eastern. If you want to come and just spit some poems and you don't want to talk to anybody, you just want to get into a cipher and just spit poems, you can do that for 2 hours straight. Sunday, we have the living room. We were going to have somebody, a couple of people come in there, but we have to go ahead and postpone that. And we will keep you guys up to date when they are available. But these two people are dynamic, and they're going to cause quite a little stir. We'll keep you guys abreast of that. This Sunday we're going to have just a regular living room. Monday, the AM Drive. The AM Drive is the darling of the small house right now. We have good topics in there. We have Catch 22 topics. We call that the What Say You. There's topics that really have no good answers, just that whatever you say, it shows a part of your personality and how you would handle a situation. We have What's in Your Cup with Scott Harrell from Partners in Rhyme. He comes over there. He does an awesome job. He takes his job so serious you would think we're paying the man. I do the What the Hell is the Weather and Where the Hell Are You segment of the show. That gets quite a few laughs and the rest of that type of stuff. But, that's what we're doing here at Epiphany and at the Small House of Poetry.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. Busy man. Busy man. It's a good thing, though.
Thank you, sis. Much love to you, too. And this panel is dope. It is so dope. The balance on it is really nice. I've been hearing y'all getting more into the groove of this whole thing. It's been really exciting to see y'all. Y'all are building a solid construct. It's beautiful.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Really, really appreciate that. All right. I am going to escort you personally over to a temptation station where you can grab a drink, sit back. I hear some ice in the glass, I think, already. take your
time. I bet he's sipping good liquor, too.
Probably.
No, that's some of that Sam's Club cherry cola. Sorry. I didn't have enough money for the good stuff.
That's all right. That's all right. That is all right. All right, Jay, thank you very much.
We're going
to
push the wheelbarrow.
I got you.
Oh.
I'm limping, but
oh,
I got
deaf.
You.
My friend.
One love, one mic.
Ladies, take care.
You too.
Divas. Oh, wow, this show. Ooh, we're just below 12 a.m.
Yeah.
This show right here was amazing. As always, you ladies brought it for me. I love you for riding with me and supporting me and just engaging in this conversation, bringing your amazing poetry and your beautiful individual personality to this show. This works. I'm going to have to holler at for real and see what we can talk about. I'm about to shut this down. Ladies, anybody want to give some closing words real quick?
I just want to say thank you again to all of you girls and for me being a part of the group, and I so much appreciate it, and I'm having a lot of fun, and we learn a lot, and I think that it's a smooth riding show. It's a good show, Danielle.
Thank you.
I'm just saying everybody came in here swinging hammers tonight, just knocking down things. It was off the chain. This was amazing. I thank you for inviting me in to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm appreciative of the space and the perspectives that have been shared. I feel like we're learning as we go and given the opportunity to learn about ourselves as well. So I love that opportunity.
All right. And everybody, as I always tell you, get that good relationship going with yourself because therein lies spirit. Continue to love one another and respect one another. Stay safe. I'm going to say, peace.